How you
What's
doing,
up,
Noah?
man? I'm good. How are you, Jay?
Good, dude. I'm good. Yeah, we're having a bit of a heat wave in the UK right now, which is a pretty rare event, so I've been soaking up.
Yeah, man, it looks nice. What does it get up to there? Oh, I don't know Celsius very well. What is it?
You know, in the summertime, if we're lucky, we're gonna hit like what there, like 25, 28 Celsius,
Okay.
which probably not that hot for you. It's like 77. Yeah, 77 is 25
Oh, wow.
Celsius. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Arizona, place
Okay, so
called
I basically what
Tijuana.
I'm describing is winter for you.
It sounds pretty nice.
So, I mean, I'm guessing it's probably been a busy couple of weeks with you, right?
Yeah, it's been pretty busy. This next week is going to be my busiest. Then I'll probably take a little bit of time off from some like interviews and stuff and everything. I've been kind of doing like a full court press. I've been doing basically everything anyone that asks. I'm like, yeah, might as well. So I've done a lot. Monday is going to be my busiest day. I have so much to do on Monday. But yeah, and then I'm also doing like still everything with Neuralink. Like we're doing all our like study stuff. And I have all the little things that I want to do on like the side, just to like hang out and play around with it on my own. And I'm constantly watching like sports and stuff. So I have to like find time for everything.
I appreciate you finding time for my humble channel, man. I was actually
Oh,
pretty surprised when I reached out and you were like, "Yeah, dude, no worries." I was like, "Oh, fantastic. I really wanted to talk to
man.
you." You have such a unique story to tell. You're the only person for people that don't know in the world to have Elon Musk's Neuralink technology. Now, could you maybe just give people a little bit of an idea of what that really means?
It's pretty wild. So BCI has come a long way. It's been around for a few decades, honestly, at this point. The Neuralink is the most advanced. It is kind of leaps and bounds above all the predecessors, but I don't want to like knock any of them. Like I've been saying, we're standing on the shoulders of giants at this point. Like it's just been, an amazing journey to get here, and Neuralink is just the beginning, I think. It's just going to open up a lot of doors for the future. And with Elon Musk's name attached to all of this, it's just it gives it a little bit of oomph, like
So for people that don't really get it, it basically implants, if I have got this right, tiny electrodes into your brain, which then allow you to interface with computers, and then it kind of uses like an AI interface to decode the brain signals. Is that right?
No, not AI. So basically it is a chip the size of a quarter, and it has 64 threads that are implanted in my brain. Each thread has 32 electrodes on it. And all of those electrodes are picking up signals from neurons nearby, and all of those are sending signals through Bluetooth to the Link app.
Yeah, let's take it back a little bit. Any chance that you could just tell people your story about how you actually became a quadriplegic, how that led to
I was working at a summer camp. I was like the assistant head of sports at a summer camp, and it was our first day off, and we were at a man-made lake in New York. And how I describe it, how it's been described at least, it's pretty wrong. Like I know a couple of publications have gone and written about it, and it's not quite right. They keep calling it a diving accident. And when people think of a diving accident, they think of like, I dove headfirst into shallows, or, I jumped off like a high cliff or something and like hit something weird in the water or into rocks, or maybe that was shallow or something like that. And that's not really what happened. Basically, it's almost as if you're running from the beach into the ocean, and you run in, you get to like waist high water. Maybe a little higher, and then you kind of like jump under the first wave. I did that at a man-made lake. Me and three guys ran in together, and I just went in. We all dove in together, and they both came up just fine, and I didn't. And it was just kind of a freak accident.
Wow.
I think, yeah, there wasn't anything in the water because it was like a sectioned off, like a cordoned off area for people to like swim. People have probably been swimming there for decades at that point, So it's not like, some people were like, oh, maybe there's part of a dock in the lake, or maybe there was like rocks or something there. I'm like, no, like if there was anything like that, it would have been found and taken out long, long ago. So it's not like there was anything in the water. I think what probably ended up happening was one of the guys I ran into the water with maybe like accidentally hit me on the side of the head, and it dislocated my neck. Because my left side of my head was sore for like, maybe a few weeks, a month after the accident. So I think I just got hit in the head pretty hard, hard enough to like jostle me a bit. And so yeah, just a freak accident.
Gosh, man. So, like, maybe just like literally just the angle and the impact of the water and, a slightly wrong push from someone and.
It was just, like I said, freak accident. I mean, I'm sure this is told to a lot of people who have injuries and stuff, but it was something like, if it was, a millimeter in either direction that my neck was hit or my head was hit, then I wouldn't have been injured. It was kind of just like a perfect storm sort of thing. So yeah, that happened. I adjusted pretty well. Surprisingly, I mean, people must think that when you're paralyzed, like your whole world stops and like you can't recover and you got to be super depressed. It didn't really happen like that for me. I adjusted pretty well. Sure, there were like downtimes. Sure, there were hard times. I was pretty sad there at times, but nothing like I imagine people think. It's not like I was depressed for years. It's not like I couldn't cope. I had a great support system around me who made things very easy. And yeah, it was just, I just roll with the punches. I've always been a pretty chill guy. I've always been pretty stress-free. And this was just one of those things where I thought, no, I can't change it. There's no point in dwelling on it. I had bad days, but that's really all it was there was a day here or there when, I just didn't really want to do anything. But then, I'd get back up the next day and, just keep moving forward. It's not like there's a lot of time to, really stop and like not continue living life as a quadriplegic. You have to do something. Even like right now when I got lightheaded and I it was like my blurry was getting fuzzy and stuff like that, like I can't just, stop everything. I have to find some way to fix it. I can't just like say, okay, well, I'm done for the day. I'm out. This is too much. Like, I guess I won't do interviews anymore. It's okay. Let's figure out what's wrong and then move forward. And so, yeah, that happened. I was living that way for maybe like 7.5 years. About 2.5, 3 years ago, I decided to get my life more in order. I felt like I wasn't really doing a whole lot. In my days, I was, I felt happy enough. Like I said, I had great family. I have great friends. So I found ways to fill my time, but it was nothing very productive. And I didn't want to be that way forever. I wanted to find some way to make an impact on my life and those around me and, the world. So I started cleaning up my act a bit. I stopped smoking. I was like I was smoking cigarettes, maybe like a couple packs every couple weeks or something. I was drinking a bit, not a lot, but maybe like a few drinks here and there over the weekend, which isn't much. People wouldn't even call that like really drinking at all, but I decided to quit that as well. I was smoking marijuana. I had like medical marijuana, so it wasn't like I didn't need it, but I realized that I could find other ways to manage my pain. And it was probably more of an escape than it was any sort of real, like medicinal, wasn't used for any sort of real medicinal purposes. So I cut that out and I started like bettering myself. I started, reading some self-help books. I started like teaching myself things. I'd always wanted to learn different languages. So I started learning, different languages. I'd been in like French classes basically since I was in high school. So I picked that back up. I took it in high school and college, but I never really took it seriously, so I picked that back up. I picked up Japanese because that's something I'd always wanted to learn. I started teaching myself math from the ground up again. I started getting into politics and philosophy. and I wanted to just learn, really.
Wow.
Wanted to read, yeah, I wanted to read like different books. There were book series that I wanted to do, wanted to get through, and some like really hefty book series, like, you know, The Wheel of Time, which is like 14 books or
Yeah.
something. Yeah, so I did that. And just, you know, wanted to, I don't know, make more use of my time. And so I was doing that for a while, and I felt like I was in a pretty good place. I reconnected with a lot of my friends because I hadn't really been the best friend. I wouldn't, you know, like wouldn't reply to their messages, or wouldn't really make the time to see them. I told myself I would try to be a better son to my parents and a better brother to my siblings. Just all around wanted to do better. You know, it's kind of hard to find your way as a quadriplegic, but I wanted to make it happen. And so I started working towards that. And then like 8 months ago, my buddy called me one day, my buddy from college, and he was like, "Hey, Neuralink just got FDA approval. You should apply for Neuralink. They just opened up in like the human first human trials." And I was like, "What's Neuralink? Like, I don't know what that is." And so he gave me like a quick 5 minute rundown, and I was like, "All right, like I guess I'll do it." And so we were on the phone, and he filled out the application for me. I think it's pretty hilarious that he spelled my name wrong on the application. I think that's pretty funny. I wasn't taking it super seriously. I had applied for other studies in the past. I'd put my name in a database at one point, but I'd also, like, I didn't want to lie on my application. So I'd said that I drank and I said that I smoked and stuff. And so it never amounted to anything. I never got any requests for any studies, any calls or anything. And that was over years. So I thought this was going to be more of the same. So I was kind of joking around a bit on my application. I mean, I asked for an Iron Man suit in my application, like just like little things like that, man.
That's the kind of
And
thing that would probably appeal to Elon Musk anyway, right? You'd be like, yeah, get this
yeah,
guy.
I know. Like it's just one of those things where like I think it all just worked out. Everything just aligned with what they wanted. Not just like you said, not just like the medical things, but the personality.
Yeah.
I think at one point, they had read my application, and some of the people came in and said, like, this is the guy we want, you know? And it just happened that all of the things medically lined up perfectly. I mean, there were very, very strict criteria, very stringent criteria, where like they told me over and over again during my interview process, my application process, that at any point in time, if we ask you a question that it doesn't quite line up with what we're looking for, then we're just going to say, okay, thank you, like thanks for applying, and we'll like part ways there. And so I was expecting that, honestly. I was expecting them to never call me back in the first place, and I was expecting them to tell me no at some point. And so I kept my expectations pretty level. I told myself that, you know, don't get your hopes up for something. Like I wasn't super bought in at this point yet either. I was like, oh, this is cool, and
Right.
kept asking my parents if they could like help me get set up for interviews and take me to an interview if that ever came about. And they were super supportive of me. So yeah, man, it just all lined up. The stars aligned. I think it was a God thing on my end. I think that God had a huge part to do with it. I think my faith has been a rock for me through this whole thing. And I think he is the reason that I've gotten through this, and gotten as far as I have. And so I don't know, just everything was just so perfect. And Neuralink wanted me, I wanted to be with them, and here I am.
It's fascinating, man. I mean, it's, you know, it really is interesting when things happen in that way. I mean, you're a pretty extreme example that I can't relate to personally, but I've talked about this a lot in terms of, you know, when you reflect, because I enjoy philosophy and thinking about things in a deep way, and I've got a very spiritual sense to myself as well. And, you know, I look at my own life and like the ups and downs, and specifically the downs where you just think, oh, nothing's going right, everything's going wrong. And with enough time and enough self-reflection, you can actually see where that's led, you know, from A to B to C, and you can start to appreciate it. So I definitely talk about that. And I think it's, you know, it is a testament to your strength and your character that you're able to look back on all of this and say, well, actually, despite all of this, I've got these incredible opportunities coming my way. I've been connected with people I'd never imagined. So I resonate with that a lot, brother. I think you're looking at it in a very healthy way.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's, you know, something about being a quadriplegic is that there's a lot of time to sit and think. For the first few years, it's all I did. I would lie in my bed and stare at walls sometimes for hours, for days. I didn't have much control over my environment at that point. I couldn't, like turn on my TV. I couldn't connect to my computer with dictation or anything like I can do now. It was all very just like, wait for someone to be around, yell to them, come help me with something, and then if I need something 5 minutes later, I'd be like, well, I just asked someone for help 5 minutes ago. Maybe I'll
Yeah, you
wait
just start
an
feeling
hour.
guilty and start
Yeah,
feeling like, yeah.
exactly. So I thought a lot. I thought through my whole life. I thought through, all the mistakes I'd made, all the things I could have done better, all the opportunities I'd let slip through my fingers because I was too busy, goofing off and doing nothing, just kind of living life as a young, dumb kid. And I don't think there's necessarily anything like wrong with that, but I believe that I just could have done better. And so, I thought a lot and I thought about the direction I wanted my life to go and how I can make that happen. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I just think that I think that there's a place for this in my life specifically, as far as like the amount of time that I put into myself is only going to, create more opportunities and stuff for me.
Let's talk about quality of life changes. What can you do now that you couldn't do before? I heard that you're big into games as well, and you've been crushing
I
it.
am. I am. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like I couldn't really play many games before. I could play chess, but it was through like a mouth stick, which is just a stick that I hold in my mouth, and I put like an iPad in front of me, so it's like a touch screen. And so the stick has like a little conductive piece on the end, and I can like click around on it. But there aren't many games that are just point and click like that. Chess is one of those, so that worked out great. Played a lot of chess. But I'd also have to be like sat up, kind of like I am now. And this puts a toll on my body after so long. So it's not like I can do this all the time, every day. And it's also something where I need people to do it. And, my parents work. So like I can't just have them come set me up at, 10 a.m., noon or something if I want, like their work. And if I want to be set up, at 10 p.m. if I'm awake or something, or 2 a.m. if I'm awake and I want to do that, I can't. So, things like that, I couldn't do. And like I said, that there aren't very many other games. I had played Civilization VI on my iPad because I was a bit of point and click as well, for most things. And with that, like I could only play it on my iPad, and so I couldn't connect to the internet and like play people through it or anything. So I could never play like my friends, or it was all just alone, and that is only fun for so long. So yeah, like it just didn't really work out. I play a lot of different games now, and it's only going to grow as we add more to the Neuralink. I'm a lot more, interactive with the world. I've been saying that it has helped me reconnect with the world at large. I am able to, text with my family and friends much quicker. Before the Neuralink, it was taking me sometimes 5, 10 minutes to write a text because of how I was going about it. There's a dictation software on the Mac OS, and it's okay. It's better than everything else out there, I think. But it's still pretty bad. Like it's just not good enough. And so I would, sit there and try to text something for, 15 minutes maybe, and then it just gets so frustrating. And when you're doing that for one message, it's not like you want to keep that, text chain going. It's not like you want to go reply to 10 other people and have to do that, 100 more times in a night. It was just hard. It was hard to like stay connected with people. And so now with Neuralink, it's like it's so much easier. I can
So
write text.
Neuralink, are you using your thoughts to send texts?
Yeah, yes and no. It's not like I'm thinking like this sentence and then that sentence comes onto the screen. For right now, I'm still using like a little virtual keyboard that pops up on the screen, and I'm using the cursor to like click on characters,
Right.
I have like a little dictation on there. So I have like the keyboard, there's like a little microphone, I'll dictate and then go through and like edit whatever I need to edit. But that's still like, it takes me less than a minute to write a text, you know, like super quick. And that's like way, way better. And that's not the end of this. That's just what we're doing right now, because the first like part of this whole study was cursor control. It's all
Right.
just, you know, get control of the cursor, get the cursor to be good, like have it not be where I need someone else when I'm on my computer and stuff. And so give me as much capability as possible, but everything's just going to keep growing. We're already working on ways to do something like you're saying, where I can text in a much more efficient way. I can like write in a much more efficient
Yeah.
way.
Yeah.
And that's gonna
Definitely got to
come.
have some safeguards so you're not just firing your personal thoughts off to people when you're
I know,
teaching.
right? I know, right? It's interesting. Like, I've heard this a lot and I've thought about it a lot, like, because we're going, I wouldn't even say in that direction. There's not a lot with the Neuralink that I believe, at least at this point, would lend itself to that. Like, I can't really imagine how that's possible. But then there are also times when I think, okay, well, what we're doing right now is basically, you know, finding different ways to get me to be able to type and write like I have been. So like handwriting stuff, like I've been working on like handwriting where I like physically try to like write something. Obviously I can't move, but I'm still like attempting to do it. So like
Wow.
write a word out and then write a word like on a piece of paper, or write a word on like you're doing it on a chalkboard, and then see if the brain can understand that. Basically, like you basically do that task a dozen times, two dozen times, and you see if that's able to be interpreted by the Neuralink. And then there's like finger spelling stuff, like sign language. If I did like sign language letters, like spelled out a word with like the alphabet or something, let's see if the Neuralink can understand that. So you do that a few more dozen times, and we're just trying out all sorts of things, and that can lend itself, I think, in the future to something more along what you're saying, which is like think words and have them appear where you want them to appear. But I don't ever think it would be something where, you know, you're just, say, like scrolling through the internet, or you're like going into your text and you're thinking, what am I going to write? And that pops up on the screen.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think it's ever going to be something like that.
Well, that wouldn't be very useful, so I can't
It
imagine it.
wouldn't be.
But so you have it has obviously the capability to be updated, modified, repaired.
So they have like software updates to it pretty regularly.
It's like something
So
out of the Matrix, man. Just
I know,
downloading
it's
your
pretty
next
cool.
software update.
It's pretty cool. Like I said, it's all like a Bluetooth connection.
Yeah.
So there's like an app that I connect to on the computer, and then like they just throw an update onto the app, and then I download it, and it downloads like
That is
directly
wild.
to the implant.
That is wild.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And then as far as like connections and stuff go, what you're talking about, like Matrix stuff and everything, and like upgrading things and stuff like that. It's supposed to be like upgradable. It's not like they could go in right now and, well, it's not like they want to go in right now and do repairs on anything. Like, even with the thread retraction that we've seen, I had said, you know, we could go in and replace this if we want. So some way for you guys to go in and like fix it. And it was just not something that they wanted to do, because there was no reason to put me through another brain surgery if they could recover any sort of performance, which
Right.
they were absolutely able to do. So
So it hasn't
it was
really made
just,
a significant impact, like the unthreading.
it did for maybe a couple of weeks, where performance got really, really bad, where I wasn't really able to like use it in any sort of effective manner anymore. But they worked around that and they found a way to make it better again, and now it's better than what it was before the thread retraction happened. And so like that's an amazing story. That's amazing that they were able to do that. That's amazing that I've had, you know, threads pull out of my brain, yet there's still like better performance to be had. I think that's awesome. I think it shows the massive amount of work that these people have put into all of this. and the amount of time that they're putting into making it work for me and everyone in the future. But it is supposed to be upgradable. It is meant to be something where at some point in maybe even my life, I'll go in and get this one taken out and a new one put in. And then something where like everyone in the future will be able to, get, Neuralink 7 and then a year later go in and get Neuralink 8 if they want to, if they're going to do it like that, or 10 years later go in and get it. I'm not sure what it's going to look like at all, but yeah, it's meant to be like that, meant to be upgradable. The surgery was super simple, so it doesn't seem like it's going to be anything that's going to need any sort of like skilled surgeon at some point. It's just going to be all this robot that's able to do it, which is just amazing.
I mean, it really is, man. It's a testament to the times we're living in. I'm obsessed with looking at the technological domain and how it's evolving. And obviously with AI coming out and just things are starting to accelerate at such a pace. And then, someone like yourself being the initial person to have something that is just kind of echoing where we're going in the future. I mean, for you, where do you think 5 years, 10 years down the line, things like Neuralink are gonna end up evolving into? I mean, like you said, you don't really see too many kind of concerning avenues, although the whole kind of brain computer interface, there's a lot of conspiracies around, we're all going to be chipped eventually and we're going to be controlled. But in terms of Neuralink specifically and, what you've seen it do, you're overall optimistic about what it's going to do for humanity.
Yeah, I think it's a very optimistic story. I mean, just initially, for it to help me so much in my life, I know that it is going to do that for many more people. I know that it's going to, help people with disabilities. It's going to help people with, paralysis or ALS or stroke victims. All of those are just the tip of the iceberg. Like, that's just where this is going initially. I know that they've talked about helping people with blindness, with Alzheimer's, maybe, if that is possible. Like, there are just so many things that can come from this, and not just, directly the Neuralink fixing that, but as we progress through this story with Neuralink, we're only going to learn more about the brain. And it's just such a unexplored, I guess, field. I mean, maybe unexplored is the wrong word. We've been trying to learn more about the brain forever, and now we're finally in a place where we have kind of direct data coming from the brain on a daily basis about like how it works on a much more intimate level. And I think that's going to only increase as time goes on and as more people get the implant, because they'll have, X amount more data. And I think in the future, it's just gonna, like I said, in the short term, it's going to help people with disabilities, but in the long term, it's just gonna help people, connect in different ways. And it's gonna give us the ability to utilize our potential in new ways. People are incredibly, resourceful, and there's so much more to ourselves that we can learn and that we can grow. It's not like we're going to get, AI and these implants, and then we're going to stop, growing as a society or as a people or as humanity. It's only going to, make us better. It's just another tool that we can use to grow, as, as the human race. It's a story that I find very, very promising, and I don't buy into all of the, we're all going to be chipped, it's all brain control, it's, the mark of the beast stuff. That's ridiculous to me. I think people need to understand what they're talking about a little bit more first. They need to understand like what the technology is capable of, and understand that these, at least these people that are working with it right now, their intentions are good. But everyone that I've met at Neuralink is in this for the right reasons. They're all like the most amazing people. They're all some of the most intelligent people in their fields. They are just so smart, and they're so good at what they do, and they could be working at 100 other places probably and making more money. They could go work at Google and make more money. But like, well, what's the point of that? You know, like, what kind of difference are they really making there? At Neuralink, they're helping people like me, versus helping make, you know, search histories a little bit easier, clean up or something. Like, I don't know. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
And so I'm really looking forward to what this has to offer humanity in general.
You said that you're, a spiritual guy, and it's an interesting one, and maybe we can just finish up on this question because it's something that's important to me as well. My YouTube channel is called Project Unity, and the reason for that is I do actually believe that science and spirit need to come together. These are just two different ways of looking at the same thing, two different ways of perceiving the world and reality. And you're an interesting case because, like you just said, you've got a spiritual sense to you, but you're also an example of cybernetic augmentation and integration. And there's a lot of people in, the kind of like philosophical and spiritual camps that I guess maybe are a bit purist. They feel like technology is just driving us down the wrong route evolutionarily, that we're going down a bad path. This is antithetical to spirit. I kind of sit on the whole process of these are, like you said, tools, but I'd be interested to get your opinion on kind of like the balance between, are we going the right way as a species with our technological obsession, and is there room for spiritual growth in that as we develop?
Yeah, I might have a different perspective than a lot of people because of my faith, because of what I believe with God and being a Christian. I don't believe there's any real disconnect between God and science. I think people have this understanding that they are, you know, somewhat diametrically opposed. Like, it's either you are a believer in God or you believe in science. And I don't believe that's the case. I believe there's nothing about what God is and who God is that contradicts science. The more you look into it, I absolutely believe that. And so, you know, there's this argument to be made that what we're doing with technology is not necessarily it's not wrong in any way, as long as we can understand that it's not the most important thing in the world. Like, it's something to be used and something that we can adjust to in our lives, and we can use in different ways, but use in different ways to, you know, better ourselves, and use in different ways to help other people, and use in different ways, you know, to better just the human race and progress. But in my mind, God is still the most important thing. And I don't see how all of those things can't coexist. So I totally believe that, you know, we're still going in the right direction. I don't see this as any sort of step backwards as far as like the human race goes. I don't think that it's okay, we need to focus more on, you know, the spiritual side of human growth and completely ignore technology at all. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that's anything God wants for us either. So, you know, it's not something that I'm worried about by any means.
You're a good speaker, man. You're a good communicator. I think that all of these interviews, and who knows, maybe a public speaking avenue is opening up for you. I mean, you certainly got
Yeah, we'll see.
a compelling story and a lot of kind of wisdom accumulated from your experiences. And my God, you're just, an incredible example of the future coming up right now. So, Noel, bro, really appreciate you taking some time. I'm going to let you go now, but we've had a great talk. I've really enjoyed having you on. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for your time. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate us getting to set this up, and you just taking the time to talk with me and ask some insightful questions. I'm really looking forward to seeing this come out, and, you know, seeing the reaction that people have to it.
Yeah.